Hi, this is Jason Anderson, Vice President of Strategy and Product Management at Stratus Technologies. Welcome to our ARC Advisory podcast today about accelerated supply chain reengineering in the new normal. As we navigate these challenging times and the impact of a global crisis, organizations are currently pressured to scale up their supply chain processes to fulfill demand for specific products. Yet, we know these supply chain resources cannot simply turn on a dime to ramp up their production. But to prepare for the new normal, organizations must identify ways to re-engineer their supply chain processes now in order to more immediately and dynamically respond to future demand spikes and valleys. Edge computing can be a driver towards digital transformation that helps you achieve a more dynamic supply chain or fail by maintaining your current model. Join myself and Craig Resnick, Vice President of ARC Advisory Group, as he outlines the need for real-time speed at the edge. Hi, Craig. How are you today?
Hey, great to be with you today, Jason.
Great. So, Craig, we're just going to, you know, ask a few questions here. So how about the first question being, the COVID-19 pandemic has impacted people economically and personally, but what effects are you seeing in the industrial world?
You know, there's no industry that actually hasn't been affected. I think the question is, as we look at some of the differences between industries that may have been affected by either a change in consumer or industrial demand, changes in their inability to access their materials through the having in access to their supply chain. Some industries, the point of their profitability has changed, and that's really caused them some great distress, because it really now forces them to try to, how do we reinvent our own processes to be able to become profitable again? So you can see from all the different verticals, whether it be, you know, oil and gas, pulp and paper, food and beverage, pharmaceutical, automotive, that there's really wide disparities between how these industries have been affected by COVID-19.
Okay, great. Well, you know, you said change a lot, and the question that jumps in my mind when I hear that word is caution. So are you finding that organizations are becoming a bit more cautious in their planning investment for the future? Or maybe they're leaning in to kind of get there faster and re-engineer so they're ready when the pandemic begins to slow down?
Well, you know, it's really all aspects, because, you know, we've seen obviously companies that have had, you know, CapEx, massive reductions or just complete cutoff of CapEx. We've seen cutbacks in OpEx. All cash is under scrutiny, just as you can certainly imagine. But the one thing that's, I would say, is a common denominator is that all companies definitely recognize that this new normal, if that's a term we would want to use, definitely requires investment in solutions to make the supply chain, you know, more visible and real-time responsive. It also means that people now have to be able to access the factory floor, the plant floor, from really any location. So it's really put a great deal of visibility, shall we say, on remote access, the ability to visualize any process from anywhere and be able to make control decisions on any process from anywhere, and trying to find ways to make that happen. So we're definitely seeing a lot of interest in that as a result of this COVID-19 pandemic.
So can you provide any specifics on industry specific challenges around that and how they how they're different by a sector?
Oh, sure. Think about oil and gas. I mean, you had a situation where, you know, the price of West Texas Intermediate, Brent crude, was down, ranging from, say, the teens to the 20-some-odd dollars a barrel. You had tankers floating around in the ocean actually paying people to take oil because there was really nowhere to put it. So you're in a situation from those industries where how do you lower the profitability, what it takes to be profitable? And the fact that there certainly were some cost reductions in workforce, and how do you replace some of those functions with various automation solutions? Take the pulp and paper industry. You know, all of a sudden, everything, you know, is as busy and as companies like Amazon were before, obviously, even now, it's going through the roof with people having products shipped directly to their homes. So how do the pulp and paper companies respond to making the right cardboard and packaging material to kind of take advantage of this surge in shipping things directly to home? Also, maybe on a more personal front, is when we go to the supermarket and we notice we try to buy things such as bath tissue, and the shelves are empty. Well, from some of our clients in the pulp and paper industry have told us, you know, they may have a ratio of 60 to 70% of the products that they make for bath tissue would go to residential use, and another 30 to 40% would go to commercial use. But now that commercial use is down to, you know, just several percentage points with everything shifting to residential, they now have to make very quick changes in their manufacturing processes so they can use product that, let's say, for example, is made from better material, more comfortable material, rather than the recycled and thinner stock that may be used for the commercial bath tissue. So they have to kind of respond to those surges. For food and beverage and pharmaceuticals, some of the big differences that are changed is instead of products that are being shipped directly to, let's say, regional warehouses, and then from there shipped off to the major retailers, to whether it be the Walmarts or CVSs of the world, it's a situation now where some of that product is being shipped directly to the consumer. So there's now going to be very, very big differences in how that product is, you know, where that product gets shifted and how it's packaged is. Is it now packaged to be shipped directly to a consumer rather than to a retailer? So that changes the whole packaging mix. So it really means the type of products that are being requested and the packaging machines that these food and beverage and pharmaceutical manufacturers have deployed, and how do they make changes in the type of packaging. Also, think in terms of food and beverage. Instead of shifting a lot of the product directly to the food service companies that service restaurants, now some of that product has to be repackaged and either go to food retailers as well as direct to the consumer. So again, it's radical changes that are forced to be made. And you think about like the automotive industry. You know, we've seen cases where they're now in a situation where they have a lot of workers that work in close contact with each other. How do you now have to figure out when those plants, as they begin to reopen, how do you space out the workers? So not only are you more than 6 feet apart in separation, but you're having barriers between the workers and the workstations to make sure that there's not some cross-contamination between the different employees. So it's a lot of different challenges right now that these companies are facing.
Wow, that's a lot of diversity there. So are there a couple areas you think that, you know, companies should just look at to kind of help, you know, maybe blunt some of these types of things in the future?
Well, you know, there's two areas that I would say that these companies really, in speaking to a lot of our clients since the crisis began, they felt they got caught short with supply chain solutions. With the issue being is that all of a sudden, first, when the plants in China were closing, they were losing their ability to get their raw material from China. So they were trying to find different sources, say, from North America or Europe. Then all of a sudden, some of the European plants started closing. And now you're maybe looking and seeing if there's North American alternatives. Then you had some North American plants close. But then China was beginning to reopen. So you're in this situation that all of a sudden you didn't have a good real-time visibility into your supply chain, and you didn't have the ability to make decisions in real time. It's almost like taking real time from the factory floor and moving real time into making decisions when it comes to supply chain. So they really recognize that they have to completely reinvent the way the supply chain is visualized and managed and add the necessary flexibility that it takes, so they can be far more responsive to the supply chain. The other area is that as people began to with stay at home orders and began working from home, they realized that, you know, why don't we have the necessary access to be able to visualize our operations remotely and be able to make decisions? Now, in the past, it was always an issue of safety and security where, you know, these, you know, decisions could only be made, for example, in a process plant, maybe in a control room. And you would never, ever allow the ability to visualize what might be on a DCS terminal, for example, or the ability to have a controller make a decision based on the information they're seeing on a DCS screen. But now the situation becomes, should we be changing our thinking and be able to take that information out of the plant and leveraging the appropriate security practices so people can now visualize and make decisions regardless of their location. So they don't want to get caught again with the fact that we can't operate our facilities if we cannot have manpower within the facilities. We need to find ways of being able to take and make all our operations have get the visualization that's needed and be able to make the control decisions from any location, regardless of situation.
Right. So the scale of this problem really has focused organizations to not just look at this as a tactical thing, but it's really more about business continuity now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how can they, you know, and how can they do that, right? And how can they dynamically respond to these challenges, which seem to be hitting, you know, it's a very fluid environment, right? So how do they kind of deal with that?
They have to start thinking of supply chain as a real-time process.
Okay.
You know, for those of us that have been in the industry for a long time, when we think of real-time control, we're just thinking of what you find on the factory floor with, you know, measuring pressures and temperatures and flows and levels, for example. But now with real-time is really moving up into the business processes. And supply chain needs to be something that's dynamic, and it's something that's real-time, and it has to be geographically independent. You know, you have to have a situation that you're not getting all your material from one particular geography. And you have to have the necessary tools that it takes to say, I'm going to build a global supply chain and be able to react very, very quickly. And and the pandemic certainly brings this to light. But think in terms of issues when it comes to even tariffs and trade, where you could have some geopolitical issues that could certainly cause some interruption that might cause people to have to make some quick shifts beyond just situations in the future regarding pandemics. So you got to bring real-time responsiveness and geography and being able to be geographically independent, and that has to be part of your whole supply chain strategy. And again, when it comes to the being able to operate these factories from a remote location, it's also going to be a situation that even, you know, as things begin to get better, when the workforce begins to return, that workforce is going to be spread out within the plant. You're going to, you know, as we've seen in some of the tragedies we've seen leaving in meat processing plants, employees are going to have to be separated even within the plant. So even if they're on site, there's going to be more remote work that's going to be needed as you start to separate the employees. You're also going to have probably more hybrid workforces where you're going to have a smaller workforce within the plant, and some of that workforce may be remaining in offsite locations, maybe supporting multiple facilities, and maybe some people would even have the opportunity to continue to work from their home that haven't traditionally done that. So I think those are the issues that are, really you're going to see these organizations really striving forward.
So what you've been largely talking about is either geographical or space constraints, but let's talk about time. How can a company maybe kind of future-proof this whole situation in addition to just when people come back, but looking long-term, right? How can they set themselves up for success?
Well, you know, long-term, it's those two magic words, digital transformation. There's probably no company that you can talk to that will not say, oh, yeah, we have a digital transformation journey and we're proceeding in this. But what we find is people are proceeding at very, very different paces, or at least they had in the past. Sometimes they need and sometimes, unfortunately, it takes a disaster to kind of help people accelerate along with the process, because what these companies are finding now is that digital transformation is no longer optional. It's really a method of survival. If you have not digitally transformed and you're not going through that process of first digitizing your processes, and then as you completed with that, now you're moving to the digitalization phase. It's not optional anymore. It's actually mandatory, and the survival of the enterprise is key. And if for companies that don't go through digital transformation, are not going to be here for 3-5+ years from now. And some of the technologies that are getting a lot of momentum is really edge. And what we find is that with edge control, it's really bringing the ability to be able to to embed intelligence as close to the assets as possible within the plant. And that's something that we really see from a technology-wise is really going to take off as companies are beginning to accelerate with the digital transformation process.
Well, Craig, that's a lot to think about. Really appreciate the time today. And for everybody who's tuned in, thank you for tuning in.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Great to be with you today.